Leadership isn't just about strategy. It's about connection. And that's what we explore here on the Tactical Empathy Podcast. I also explore it every week in my newsletter, The E in the Room. With more than 1,000 subscribers already learning how to communicate with confidence and lead with empathy, this is your chance to join in. Head on over to www.erinthorp.ca/resources right now and download a series of free leadership tools and get the newsletter delivered to your inbox. The conversation doesn't end here on the podcast, so make sure you're a part of it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Tactical Empathy. I am your host, Erin Thorp, and I am so happy that you have tuned in today to listen to a continuation of a conversation that I started a few episodes ago. So today is part three of a four-part solo series that I am calling Restoring Capacity, Reclaiming Our Empathy After Burnout. and this really was fueled by a number of conversations that I had with clients and friends and even with myself towards the end of 2025. So I began 2026 with this four-part series. And in part one, we explored body work as a way to complete the stress cycle through our physiology and movement. In part two, we talked about emotional expression and how our body stores unexpressed emotions and how that can lead to a diminished capacity and how really learning to kind of dig in, listen, and feel feelings and emotions and potentially changing the story around those emotions can really help us restore our own capacity. So today we're talking about creative expression, and I want to be really clear before you turn off this podcast. This is not about you being artistic. I personally do not identify as an artistic person. However, there are a lot of ways that I express creativity, and I've had to learn to kind of separate those two things because creative expression is not about production. This is not about producing something that's saleable or that we hang on the wall. It's not about, you don't have to share creative expression with anyone. You don't have to monetize it. And to be honest, you don't even have to do it very well. So I hope that you stick around for the whole episode and explore how creative expression can help you reclaim your capacity if you find yourself in a bit of a season of overextension, overproduction, overdoing. Potentially you've labeled that as burnout. But really you're just feeling like I've got nothing left to give. So this series, like I said in the opening, was sparked by a number of conversations that I had with clients, friends, family, myself. And it reminded me to go back to a book I'd read a long, long time ago and that I keep on hand all the time because I'm constantly referring to portions of it. And I think this is, I'm just going to kind of take a bit of a detour here, but I think this is really important. You know, I know a lot of people read a lot of self-help books. and I used to fall into the trap that I just needed to read more, consume more, gather more knowledge. But what I've come to realize, it's not about the knowledge we gain. It's about how we integrate that knowledge. And so this book, Burnout, by Emily and Amelia Nagoski, who I've referenced throughout the series, is one of those books that is like a reference manual to me. I go back to it often to be reminded about how to complete the stress cycle to reclaim and rebuild my own capacity. And so one of the ideas they talk about in the book is creativity. And it's one that I've dabbled in over the years. And sometimes it is the answer to helping us reclaim our capacity and rebuild our capacity because it allows us to express things and move energy and to complete the stress cycle to signal to our bodies that we're safe without needing to do anything overly exhaustive or to share and express emotions. So if you find physical exercise difficult or you just don't have the energy right now, which is what we explored in part one, if you find like, I just can't talk about it anymore, or I don't want to open up that Pandora's box, which is what we talked about in episode two, maybe creative expression is an avenue that you want to explore. So creative expression engages our body and our senses and our nervous system all at once. And the biggest thing it does is it signals we're safe. It allows our heart rate to drop and our blood pressure to drop and normalize, our brains to receive the signal that, hey, there's safety here. We don't have to be on high alert. It activates our thriving centers in our brain instead of the survival centers of our brain. And it really forces us to come into the present moment. So it reduces things like anxiety and overwhelm and worry. And it reminds us, to be really honest, that we are more than what we produce. Okay. I know I have a pretty big hyperachiever who likes to check boxes and who likes to achieve things and meet goals, very goal-oriented. And so sometimes creative expression can be difficult for me, to be really honest, because I want to produce something. And that is the very reason I practice it. I practice it because it's not about production. And so if you find yourself, you know, someone who is in a leadership role, caregiving, you have a high responsibility roles, maybe you're parenting, leading, whatever it is you're doing, and you find yourself more oriented towards production and goals, creative expression might be a place you want to start to look at rebuilding your capacity. So here's the distinction that I want you to explore and sit with while we explore this idea of creative expression. There is a difference between, and I'm just going to use a few examples here from my own life, cooking dinner because you have to and you have to put food on the table, and cooking because you want to express yourself through food or baking, or you want to try something new and explore, and you have time and space, and it actually fills you up with energy because you get to explore and create. And maybe you change an ingredient or two in a recipe, or you try a totally new thing and it's fun and enjoyable. Do you see the difference between those two? And for a lot of years, cooking was not creative expression for me. It was a necessity. Three small kids, a very busy family. We had to eat. I had to get food on the table. But that time has passed in my life and cooking has once again become enjoyable. I love trying new things. I love coming up with creative recipes. I love engaging the kids now that they're older and want to help out. My youngest son is very into food and loves to cook, even though he probably hasn't identified that himself, but he really does. And so now cooking has actually become a way I can creatively express myself. There's a difference between planting and gardening and building a food storage system because you have to, and it's part of how you survive, and gardening for the beauty of it, for the connection to the earth and nature, for the mindfulness of being in your garden and feeling the hands in the dirt and watching something beautiful grow. That time in nature, because it's present and explorative, is very different than I'm planting a garden because I have to survive. And for me, I look back and my childhood, we planted a massive garden, like acres of garden. And it was because we needed to survive. We put up all the vegetables every fall. We froze and canned and stored so that we would have vegetables throughout the winter. And I just thought it was because we lived on a farm and that was what, you know, farmers do. But it was because we needed it to survive. And now I have this tiny little backyard, you know, in the city. And I find myself wanting to go out and garden, not because I'm putting up acres of vegetables, but because it is nice to dig a hill of potatoes in September and have some fresh potatoes. But I don't need to store them all winter. And it's lovely to watch flowers bloom and to go sit in my garden and watch bees and butterflies and birds come in and enjoy that beautiful space. And so gardening now has become a way of creative expression and relaxation and really bringing me into the present moment. And I don't do it because I have to survive. The last example that I'll use in my own creative expression is sort of more, I would call it like the tactile arts. So I sew. I did pottery last winter. I've dabbled in like some artwork over the years. Again, nothing that's on the walls. In fact, there's probably stacks of canvases behind me, you know, in my office here that I've never hung up. I've never done anything with. It's simply the physical act of like allowing whatever wants to come through you, come through you. Now, when the kids were little, I didn't have time to sew. And if I was sewing something, I was probably mending pants or hemming pants or doing something that, you know, had to be done. Again, it's out of necessity, not out of creative expression. For years, I wanted to try pottery. In fact, throughout the pandemic, I threatened to turn our garage into a pottery studio, even though I've never sat down behind a wheel before. But 2 winters ago, I decided, you know what, I want to give this a try. And I took my first class and I absolutely loved it. And it was beautiful to just create something with your hands. And I'll tell you what, if you ever want a lesson in being absolutely super present, like I couldn't listen to a podcast, watch a show, listen to music, maybe some classical music or something without words, put yourself behind a pottery wheel. Because the only way you're going to get that thing to stay centered and actually pull a form is by being super present, steady hands. Your mind can't be anywhere else but right there in the pottery wheel. And it wasn't about producing the thing. It was because you love the process of it, right? And for many years, sewing became about checking the box, hemming the pants, fixing the thing, making a Halloween costume. And I'm finding myself slowly wanting to get back to that, where I just like have it set up in a corner of the house and I sit down and I create whatever it is I want to create in that moment. I believe that burnout and that feeling of overwhelm and survival and never being able to shut off thrives in environments where everything has to be useful, efficient, optimized, shared, produced, sold, where we lose connection to the present moment and doing something just because we love doing it. It does not have to make sense to anyone else. So creative expression is really those places where you can practice doing something without producing. I am not a musician. I have a sister who is very musical. And I know for her, singing, playing the piano, perhaps even learning a new instrument or song is a way that she can connect to the present moment. So if music or dance or artwork in terms of like painting is your place to connect, to do something without producing for nobody else's eyes, but for your own soul-filling nourishment, then that is what we're talking about today. Nobody else ever has to see what it is that you create. It doesn't need to be good. It doesn't need to be finished. And the moment that creativity becomes another thing that you have to perform or prove, it stops being restorative. So just to recap, creative expression is anything that pulls you into the present moment and allows you to connect to self and to something bigger than you. Baking, cooking, sewing, knitting, weaving, gardening, arranging flowers, plants, repotting plants, painting, drawing, pottery, woodworking, playing music, singing music, dancing to music, writing for yourself. We talked a little bit about writing in the part 2 of this series where we talked about journaling, but perhaps it's even just creating a short story or allowing your mind to wander about, you know, and again, not to publish a book or to sell to something or to get published in an article. Just write the darn story. Explore your creative imagination. Now, for many of us, and if you're like me, I was quite surprised to learn how restorative and deeply restful creative expression can be. And I think because for a lot of years, and especially growing up, all of these acts of creative expression that I shared with you today were really out of necessity. They were tasks that had to be done for our survival. So if you are somebody who's highly cognitive, you know, maybe you work in a very relational or emotionally demanding job, creativity can give the nervous system that break from that constant vigilance. It allows your mind to slow down. It allows your body to lead. And again, the minute you start thinking about, does this make sense or how am I going to sell that? You know, you're not in creative expression anymore. You're actually in the survival functions. So the more you can sit and just like, hey, this is going to be whatever it is and it doesn't matter where it goes, then we know that that's when we're connected to self and allowed to exist outside of that responsibility. When we lean into creative expression, it gives us permission to be inefficient, to be playful, to be absorbed in something and lose all sense of time. And it allows us to be imperfect. And if you're anything like me, these are concepts I have struggled with in my own life. And so creative expression for me is like flexing a bit of a muscle. It's like going to the gym, and it is something that I need to remember to continue to return to, so that I can remind myself that I'm not just here to be useful. I'm here to be connected and present. And when I do that, my empathy returns, my empathy for myself and my empathy for others, because I'm no longer empty. So if this is the first episode you've listened to in this series, I strongly recommend that you go back and listen to part one and two. They do build on each other in different ways. And sometimes, you know, what works today might not work tomorrow or next week or next month. And so I really wanted to break this up and offer a deep dive into each of kind of the four pillars that I use to restore my capacity when I'm feeling a little bit tapped out. In our final episode, we are going to talk about rest. This is probably the most misunderstood, morally loaded, and absolutely necessary part of the burnout recovery cycle. So please come back in 2 weeks for part four, which is the final part of this series. As always, if this episode has resonated with you, please consider sharing it with somebody that you love or that means something to you. Perhaps you have someone in your life that needs some permission to create without producing. And if this series is impacting you at all, I would love to hear from you. You can find all of my contact details on the socials and my email in the show notes, wherever you're listening to this podcast. And I'd love to hear from you. Please reach out and let me know what you're noticing or perhaps even what you're experimenting with. Finally, your ratings and reviews help us reach new listeners. So if you have a moment when you're done this episode and would like to help share this message, please leave a rating or a review wherever you are listening to this podcast. Please keep practicing tactical empathy, and I will see you again in part four.